From television to radio and a new memoir, John Gorman has written a personal history of one radio station. WMMS in Cleveland used to be the hottest station in one of the hottest radio towns in the country. WMMS was known as the Buzzard, and as program director, Gorman made the Buzzard soar back in the 70s and early 80s. From member station WKSU, Vivian Goodman reports.
It all started in Cleveland with the legendary Alan Freed.
Hello, Moondoggers. How are y'all? This is Alan Freed, the king of the Moondoggers, and welcome again to another of your favorite blues, rhythm, and jazz rock and roll parties.
Freed's show started rock in Cleveland the minute it went on the air in 1951. Mike Olszewski was just a kid then. Today, he's a radio news reporter. He remembers when Cleveland was the nation's eighth biggest city. Then the steel mills started shutting down.
And it was almost a dead Rust Belt city by 70 or 71. The one thing that young Cleveland had to grab onto was music. They had great radio, great music, and that's all we had to hang on to because the sports teams weren't doing anything, and the political scene was just so divisive that people just gave up on the city, except for radio.
In 1968, the Federal Communications Commission decreed that co-owned AM and FM stations in the same market had to have separate formats. At first, FM was just an afterthought. Then the big three automakers started putting receivers in cars. The conditions were right for Boston programmer John Gorman to make the move to Cleveland in 1973. Gorman assembled a crew of college radio DJs and turned them loose on 100.7 FM.
Hi, everybody. This is Huey Lewis, and you're listening to my personal friend, Kid Leo, on WMMS.
You'll get the songs you want, 'cause we're
In his memoir, John Gorman recalls driving through the city, listening to Bob Dylan.
And the only sound that's left after the ambulances go is Cinderella sweeping up on Desolation Row.
And that's how Gorman came up with the station's logo, a wild-eyed turkey vulture with a mohawk and an attitude.
And it's just like, well, what else do you expect to see flying over a dying city?
The popular T-shirt at the time read, Cleveland, you gotta be tough. Once the Buzzard swooped in, its image was everywhere. But Gorman says it took a while for advertisers to catch on.
Leather shops and cool clothing stores and record stores, those were the only clients that would advertise on the station. Our sales department could not get into the major agencies. There are agencies in Cleveland that didn't even want them sitting in the lobby because they had longer hair and was slightly different and all that. And, you know, these are very conservative times. We're talking about 1973 going into 74. And, you know, we're considered somewhat radical, actually very radical.
The ad sales soared when the ratings did. August 9th, 1978, Bruce Springsteen gives a free show at the Cleveland Agora, sponsored by WMMS.
I'd like to thank Cleveland for supporting us like it was one of the first towns when we came in. When we first came here, we got some respect. It's thanks to the kid WMMS. 1, 2!
Stephen Van Zandt was playing in Springsteen's E Street Band at the time.
People would say to us, you know, what's your favorite town? What's your favorite rock and roll town? And we'd say Cleveland, and people thought we were kidding. You know, it would be like a laugh line. But we weren't kidding.
He wasn't alone. Mott the Hoople's Ian Hunter says before leaving on its first American tour, the British band thought it would find the hippest scenes on the coasts.
But then when you got here, New York was quite, we found it rather backward musically, and we also found L.A. rather backward musically. And when we got to Cleveland, we found they were picking up on people like Bowie and Roxy Music and ourselves long before the coast.
Cleveland, Ohio.
They broke Mott the Hoople.
Steve Popovich was doing A&R for Epic Records back then, and he says WMMS was a station where he could test new bands.
Every label at that time, any project that was to the left and it fit what John was doing at MMS, you'd put it out, and if the city of Cleveland, if people responded the next day at retail, you knew you had something that would work everywhere.
He was a boy from the street. With a beat, and your eyes just for me.
Long before Marty Jones released her debut LP in 1985, she listened to The Buzzard growing up in Northeast Ohio and says it was a big influence.
Huge. I remember listening every morning when I got up before school. And sometimes I would go to the record store, which would be the Quonset Hut in Canton, sometimes looking for records that they didn't even have yet. And it was so impressive that, you know, we got the heads up on them from WMMS that we'd have to wait till they came out.
Jones is back in the Cleveland area, raising a family with her husband, producer Don Dixon. They're often in a recording studio with Heartland rocker Michael Stanley, now a classic rock DJ in his hometown. He says his station can't even come close to the audience WMMS had.
Last book, we pulled in like an 8-share, and everyone was giddy with excitement. And I think at one point, MMS had something like a 33 share or something like that, which is inconceivable. It's like every dogs were listening. Everybody was listening.
Stephen Van Zandt is a DJ too now on Sirius Satellite Radio. He just wishes the old WMMS was still around.
We'd go in there whenever we were in town and just start playing records with whoever the DJ was on duty at that moment. I mean, it was completely informal. This was the height of the rock era, and the rock era ended.
Today, WMMS is owned by Clear Channel, and The Buzzard has been grounded. For NPR News, I'm Vivian Goodman in Cleveland.